You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
¿Cómo está, vengas?
Hola, vengas! Oh, man.
You're about to be doing real good right now. We've got a very special guest.
Yeah, we got a very special guest. Friend of the pod. Legend, Arrow McLaren, IndyCar driver, IMSA driver, and most recently, McLaren F1 reserve driver, the man, the myth, the ledge, Pato Award on the pod. What's going on, Pato?
Did you know I had an underwear that was like that? It said, the man, like this, and then the myth, I think, one side, and then the legend to the other side.
Was the legend pointing down? Is that? I feel like I've seen those.
Yeah,
and it was underwear. It was,
something like that.
Right, it's kind of like I'm with stupid, but for 14-year-old boys. You know?
Yes, I was. That's I was 12. So,
yeah. There we go.
No, I'm good, guys. Thank you for the invitation. I always enjoy talking to you guys back in the pod. You know,
that's right. Yeah, you're saying you're not, you're under the weather though. What's going on?
Yeah, man. I guess, you know, didn't really sleep before, or during the 24 hours, in Daytona. And then I guess I caught something. I went to get checked today. They told me it was viral. So it really is not fixable with pretty much anything. You just have to kind of ride it out. So that's what I'm doing, trying to stay hydrated and just riding it out.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you know what? Let's start with the Daytona. Let's start with that race, because, I mean, it's, we saw that you posted on your Instagram. I think you have one of the Aura rings. Am I right? That was one of the Aura rings?
Yeah, he's
rocking the Aura ring. Rite of passage with racing car drivers, as we've seen. But it said you slept, what, like an hour and a half? Like one of those nights?
It said that I slept 1 hour and 59 minutes, and which is a little sketch because it took my, before I went to sleep at like 2 something a.m., I don't know why it says that I slept from like 12:30 to 1, which I just kind of gotten out of the car. I went to a physio, so maybe it read that I was like laying down or something, but I didn't sleep much, definitely. And well, looks like my immune system might be paying for it right now.
Yeah, it also said you burned a ton of calories, like 2,300 calories one day and like 2,500 calories another day.
Yeah, no, I drove quite a few. I did a double stint and then another double stint on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it was a triple and a triple. So
how do you burn so many calories? Just because when I go on a road trip, I usually gain weight.
Right.
So how do you...
So, man, can you explain that to me? I burned all those calories and I didn't lose weight.
Okay. You didn't stop by 7-Eleven and, you know, had your Doritos and you know, your favorite snacks in the car with you for Daytona?
I gave myself a burger after the Sunday.
Oh, nice.
On Sunday night, I went to I had to drive down to Miami for hybrid testing that we had earlier in the week. So that night I had I went to Salt Bay. Have you been to Salt Bay? The guy that does the salt.
Oh, yeah, this guy. Yeah.
So I got a juicy steak and then a burger and all of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, was Salt Bay there?
No, I've never been when he's there, sadly.
Oh, yeah. He's never
there. You just gotta keep going. Hey, Pato, I wanna pitch myself as a potential teammate for you. You might have done the 24 hours of Daytona, but I did like the 49 hours of Maine to LA. I did that in that's 3,000 miles. And I did it
like
in a Penske
trip?
Road trip. I did LA to Maine to LA in 2.5 days. in a Penske truck. So I'm technically, I was a Penske driver in a truck. So
what a guy. Look at
now,
you.
I guess my question is do they test for like things like Adderall? Because that was very helpful in a situation like that.
Honestly, I haven't ran into that issue because I don't really take anything. So, do they test for Adderall? I'd probably think so, or at least it will come out in your test. I don't know if they're going to like ban you or not if you take Adderall. I don't think it's optimal. But
it was optimal.
for Matt, he found it to be optimal. I do feel like, race car drivers, ADD probably feels like it's something that a lot of y'all have, no?
Yeah, I definitely think I've got some.
A little bit. Because I feel like I have ADD. It's like the thing with ADD is like it's kind of this.
That's what I have.
Yeah, ADD.
It's never been like confirmed, but I know I have ADD.
Well, I think what people who have that, I feel like everyone kind of has that now because of, TikTok, but like you can hyper focus. It's like in your rest of your life, maybe you're thinking about 18 things at once, but like there's something about like maybe getting in a race car or like, doing something where it's like it requires your undivided attention. That's very like seductive to someone whose brain is maybe scattered in other times. Do you find that's maybe the case?
I think it's what I was always told. All of these was in my report cards. There wasn't one report card where this didn't say something. And the teacher was like, in the things that he has interest in, he's actually wonderful. But in things that he doesn't have any interest in, he's the worst student I have. So
right.
Maybe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were bouncing off the walls and stuff when you were a kid?
Well, always. But like, dude, you gotta like... These school days are from like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and you want me to be boring and sit down and watch you do, like, you gotta have fun with it. Like, I'm not saying don't learn. Like, I always want to learn, but you need to have fun in the process. And in school, it's just like frowned upon. Your son is the class clown. It's not class clown. It's just I know how to have fun and enjoy while I'm working and while I'm learning.
Spoken like a class clown.
People mistaken because I passed all my classes.
Yeah.
C's get degrees, bro. Okay, I don't have to be AD. Like, really? Because when am I going to be start? Like, I wanted to be a racing driver. I didn't want to be a magician, or you can't even learn magician. I didn't want to be a, what's it called, scientist. Like, what am I going to do with all these... with all these like formulas and stuff. It's like
to all youngsters listening, C's get degrees.
C's get degrees, baby.
Award, modern day role model.
C's get degrees and G's move in silence like lasagna. Was there any subject that you liked in school? What was your favorite subject if you had to choose?
Probably like art class or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've always liked painting. I like drawing, actually. Like, if I wasn't a racing driver, I'd probably be, like, an architect or something, because I like to draw.
Nice.
But I guess math? Definitely math. Better than, like... I enjoyed physics.
Yeah.
Did
you like the test? Did you like the questions on tests that were, like... If Pato is driving at 85 kilometers per hour and it takes him and he's 5 kilometers away, how fast does he get there? Were you kind of like, okay, finally I get to put my understanding of racing knowledge into a test for once?
Yeah, I could
figure that out.
Like combine them, yeah.
So I want to talk. So you did some tests. You tested two kinds of. So you tested the last season's F1 car. How was that?
Oh, it was good, man. It's definitely better than with a 2022 car.
Yeah.
And
well, you did it later in the season when they had figured it out, right?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that early McLaren, in the F1 was a little bit not quite the same as the
evolution.
The
one with the Evo,
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. Every time I jump into an F1 car, like, there really is nothing that comes close to what it is driving in a Formula One car. Like, you cannot, you can't compare, you know, because the Indy car is not slow. It's a fast freaking car. But then you jump into an F1 car and it's just like, the hardest thing really is wrapping your head around the ability that the car has. Like,
right.
It really isn't like, you know, oh, drive the car this way. It's like, no, mate. First, wrap your head around what the car can do.
Mm.
Then you can work on everything else. Like,
I have a question, because I've heard that it's like almost to people who drive other disciplines, it's counterintuitive. And it's almost like learning there's like very little carryover from everything you know from IndyCar and every other class that you've driven in, that F1 is like, it's like a completely different language. It's not like, you know, Spanish to Italian. It's like Spanish to Russian. Or do you agree with that?
It just, it defies with what you think is possible. Like, it does certain things where you're just, there's no way the car is going to stop. There's no way. And then you go there and you smash the brakes and it's like, I'm 100 feet early. You know, right. Like, there's stuff like that where, you know, growing up and going through the ranks, you're, you know, it's pretty simple, like, logic for racing drivers. And it's like, you've got an entry, you've got a mid, you've got an exit. And when I first drove the F1 car, it was like, they don't exist anymore. It's all one, you know, just because the car, everything is so compressed. And it really is amazing. Like, it really is amazing when you get to drive a Formula One car, low fuel, full power, new tires. It's like, geez.
Did you feel like, you know, where you started the session versus where you ended the session? Like, you know, how much of improvement did you feel like you made? And then how much more do you feel like, you know, in terms of, you know, just time and experience in the car, you just, I feel like it just compounds and all of a sudden you get, you feel like you're on top of it. Like, where did you feel like you started? Where did you feel like you finished? And then where do you feel like you still, you know, want to go in terms of your capabilities with the car?
So for me, for example, FP1 was all about really trying to make the transition of like Lando into FP2 qualifying, FP3 qualifying, etc. Like, it was all about trying to help the team not have to like go through this, like, I wouldn't say dirty work, but like through all the stuff that really isn't relevant to lap time and to optimizing the package, but just to really like having a read of like, where are the right height scans? And like, are we going to use this wing? Are we going to use this wing? Like, basically gathering a lot of data.
Yeah.
So like that was my job in FP1. It wasn't really a free for all, like, hey, go out and like really go as fast as possible. So for me, it was a session where, you know, I didn't really, yes, very enjoyable. Yes, it was a session for me to kind of like, you know, get in touch with the car, but it really isn't a session for me to like to push the car. Like, it ultimately was like, you know, help the team for the weekend. And then the test day after the race weekend, that was my day. You know, that was when I really could like wring its neck. And yeah, I absolutely did that. Like, would you expect anything else? I just went through our running program and also tested some stuff for the team to get data on. But there was a lot more runs where it was all about me and just all about me kind of getting into the feel of the car and all that. And I ended the day in a very nice place and definitely felt like just not a passenger. Like I was actually making the car do things that I wanted it to do. And obviously I think it showed with the pace that we ended the test with and all of that, but it ultimately was like, just having a proper go at just going through the progress of what I've learned the past few times that I've jumped in a Formula One car, basically. But no, I am now in a comfortable spot in a Formula One car. I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Nice. How was the neck after the run?
He's a champ, bro.
Hell yeah.
You have no idea how proud I was when I jumped out after doing, like, man, in the morning we did 70 something laps and they weren't push, cool, push. Like, they were all basically like long runs.
Yeah.
So it was more than a race distance. And I got out and I was like, I feel it. but like it never got to a like the neck never got to a point where it was just like giving up, and like it could still keep going. And then had lunch, recovered super fast, and then when we got back out to the qualifying sims, I was like, let's go. You know, like all this time that I had been putting to this freaking neck device, like, man, it is torture. Yeah. It sucks. I hate it. It's horrible. Because it's like 30 minutes where you're just, someone's pulling and just like, oh. I mean, so long. And
do you ever think about like, I'm putting all this work into a thing that's like not even a beach muscle. Like I'm not even going to look hotter afterwards.
Embrace the tree trunk, bro.
Yeah. Come on. You're like, I colored shirts don't fit anymore, but you know, it is what it is.
I think it definitely has grown in size. So sometimes in pictures I'll see it and it's like, huh, there is like all these hours of work.
Yeah. Does it clash with your fit? Did you have to throw out some of your favorite shirts?
No. No, no, no. Okay.
You just maybe one button less.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Like on the collared shirts, you mean? Like the ties and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit tighter, but it's not too bad.
Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about this last season in IndyCar, this season upcoming. Just kind of your thoughts around the season. You know, what's, you know, the high point, the low point? Kind of like, how do you sum up your 2023, and like, where are you looking forward to 2024, making, you know, improvements and building off of that?
Yeah, 2023 was, I hate saying that it wasn't a good year, because it was a good year. It was the most podiums we've ever had in a season. It's the best qualifying average we've ever had in a season. Maybe not the best in terms of like, going forward in a race. I think a lot of more times than not, we were actually like, you know, qualifying very well and then kind of falling back a little bit. And I think that's where a big focus on will be this 24. Like, you know, at least just stay where you qualify. Don't go backwards.
Right.
And then obviously if you qualify well, always strive to go forward. But I think that is something where I would like to see improvements on. And I feel like we had a lot of little wins without actually like the W, you
right.
know, mm-hmm. like, but I feel like in a lot of different areas in how we handled the year after getting knocked down like race after race, like especially like from the 500, like into Detroit and then like, you know, through Iowa, just like just certain races where it's just like, why? Like, why nothing just seemed to really kind of improve. We kept getting knocked down. Like, you're not even halfway up already, and someone's already, like, knocking you down. So that's kind of what it felt. But it was really cool to see how the team, like, specifically, like, my five guys and like, everybody in my stand really embraced, like, let's not let it knock us down.
For those listening, it sounds like you came in P12, but you finished like fourth. Like,
yeah, we were the second best Chevy by like 2 or 3 points, which honestly still kind of feels like a burn because that Laguna was just a joke. And whatever.
This is where you can come to let some of the let the demons out.
Let's get into Laguna.
Laguna, what can I tell you? We were running second for a while, and then Palau got hosed by a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after, we got hosed by that sequence by thinking that no more yellows were going to come out. But obviously, yellows were breeding yellows and more yellows. So, like... We never got the chance to actually create the gap that we needed in order to come in for the pits. Because our problem was we hadn't put the reds on yet. And that's truly what kind of threw it off. And, you know, what was Laguna? To be honest, that race just looked like amateur hour. Like, dude. Like, I know I might get some crap for saying this, but it's like, what we're like, last time I saw IndyCar, and all of IndyCar drivers are classified professional racing drivers, and that race was not a good showing of our series. Like, that was not. Yeah. Like,
what do you think that is? Because that was the last race of the year, right?
Like, man, McLaughlin was a ping pong ball. He destroyed four front wings or something, and then. Did he end up on the podium or something?
I think he might have, yeah.
I can't remember, but I do remember that he kept getting penalty after penalty, and he, I don't know. to me, that race was like, what's going on?
I also want to say, watching this season, you were always in there. You never disappeared. For better or for worse, you were Pato Award was around, and that makes you very exciting to watch. I gotta ask, you obviously made some great moves that came off, some other moves that maybe didn't come off. Now, I guess do you as you get older, are you rethinking when you go for a move? Is there this cost benefit analysis that you do in your head, or you're if I make this, it'll be sick, and if I don't, my race is over? What's the calculus, and how does that evolve when you, get knocked out? Does that, or you're just this is the way I do it. This is how I, I send it every time, and the racing gods will smile on me or not.
It's a constant battle. And I feel like it's a constant battle in multiple times during the year. For instance, let's take the 500. Which I think that's right. The one that kind of screams into everyone's head. It's 6 laps to go. When did you see someone third in line do anything all race? Never. Mm-hmm. Never, never, ever. At that point, I'd gotten swallowed in the restart. I was third in line.
Yeah.
I had a massive run. And you've got two choices. You either make the move in order for you to set up yourself to win the race, or you hang back and you might not have that opportunity again. You might. You never know. You might not. But when you choose to make the move, or when I chose to make the move, it's also two different outcomes. Either everybody calls you an idiot, you should have stayed and you should have waited. Or you make that move and you win that freaking race and you're a hero. Like, there's always two outcomes when the reward is so big. And to be honest, I've never been known to wait, to stay back. I had waited already 194 laps. And you can't wait for things and for opportunities to come to you. Sometimes you have to, if the door is slightly open, you freaking boom, daddy's here, right. So it's, man, it's a constant battle, and it will be for the rest of my career. As you evolve, maybe you say, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe you just didn't get the chance again. But maybe you did. But those are things that you'll never know. And it will always be a constant battle with, how much do you want it? And in honesty, for a race like that, everyone wants it pretty bad. So you always take these opportunities that are presented to you, because you don't know if they're going to come back. And that's what it is. And I think that's what makes racing exciting. That really is. Like, that's why incidents happen. If everybody knew what was going to happen, it'd be boring. And the things, drama wouldn't be there. Like, just everything would be just kind of monotone, right? But the whole point of it is because you really don't know what's going to happen, and the only way to know is when you either take this decision or you don't, and sometimes it will work out. Sometimes
so you're making that move again, 100%.
Yeah, I'd be more greedy, and I would think of myself first.
Mm.
Yeah, because in that instance, naturally, the first thing that you do is, I don't want to crash. So you obviously do everything in your power not to crash, which is why I kind of dove down with them. But you're going so fast, and before you know, it's like, crap, there's no more space. And, you know, if you know that was going to happen, you stay, bro. Send his ass.
Right.
He can enjoy the wall, you know, but like, I didn't want to destroy his race. I didn't want to destroy my race. So my call was always, you know, save it in any way that you can.
I see.
So do you ever feel better when some guy taps you like that and then he gets taken out too? Does that make you feel better?
Does it make you feel better? I mean, honestly, in that situation, heat of the moment, man, I don't like, I forgot what that hard smack felt like. I was looking, where's the A car? You know?
Yeah.
Because you know what? It was a cumulative, like boiling feelings in, because I gave him the utmost respect 365 days before then.
Mm.
And, it was foolish of me to expect the same, but like, that's kind of like what my approach was. But again, everybody wants to win that race. And ultimately, you can't blame somebody for wanting to win it and for thinking of himself before you. And that's truly what I should have done. And these moments, I guess, will continue to enlighten me, I guess, whenever I have the opportunity again. And, you know, now you've got some more things to kind of fall back on and see, do I do this? Do I not do this? Am I going to do it? But should I do this differently? So it's part of it, man. It's part of it. And you just got to, you're a racing driver, bro. You're not out there, you know, carpooling pizzas. Like, you're there to win. I'm there to win. Yeah. I'm not there to be second again. Cause yeah, to be honest, I've kind of been through it all.
Yeah.
Up to a win. So
yeah. Sure.
Today's episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Look, you've saved, you've researched, you've invested all that you can. Now you need to take a look at the investments and how to take those to the next level with Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're an experienced investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and the data you need in one place. The number one finance destination to give a holistic look at the financial news. Listen, in terms of wealth, I'm not Lawrence Stroll or Toto Wolff yet, but with Yahoo Finance, it's helping me get there. I can see how the markets are doing and find out more about certain stocks and get the latest financial news. Yahoo Finance is where I learned after Ferrari announced Lewis for 2025, the stock price went up more than 12%. Increasing their market cap by $10 billion. I'm basically a stock trader. That's how Yahoo Finance makes me feel. For a comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com.
Were you happy to see, at least, was there any solace in the fact that Newgarden, you know, beat Ericsson on the day? Because Ericsson was not happy. And was there at least a little bit of, you know, all right, well, at least you didn't win the race.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, amazing.
Because if he had hit and run you and then won the race, then that would have been devastating. So I love that after a crash, you can look at the situation and be like, I should have sent it harder. That's such an amazing, you know, to look at that. You know, a normal person probably doesn't look at it that way, but I guess that's what, you know, separates you. Sometimes I'll watch an IndyCar race and I'm like, and do you ever feel this? You're like, how the fuck did that guy win? That's part of the fun of it, honestly, but sometimes it's like because of the refueling and the tires, that's like...
No, it's because of the yellow flag rules. So when a yellow flag comes out, pits are closed.
Right.
And that usually inverts the field.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When that happens, usually it's the leaders getting hosed.
Right.
Which I can tell you I've gotten multiple of those already.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sadly, I haven't had of the other end yet.
Right.
It'll come around.
Well, it's like, that's what you're saying about Laguna, right? Like, wasn't that, that was the case at Laguna. You were like, how did this happen? You know, it was like you watched that race and you didn't understand, like, how, you know, the podium was the podium.
Pretty much. That rule is usually what causes confusion, in my opinion. Like, to all my friends that ask me, it's like, well, why did this guy go from 20th to first? And it's like, well, because in the process, 15 of those were hosed because they hadn't pit yet. And they couldn't because pit lane was closed. So I feel like that's probably where a lot of confusion happens is when yellows start getting thrown at the wrong times or at the right times for other people.
Right.
I think that's what ultimately causes a massive shift where you're just like, two laps before, it was this, and then now, how did this happen? So,
because when you watch an F1 race, when a guy gets knocked out, you're like, he's fucked. He can't win. And
right.
You know, but that happens in IndyCar, which is fun. But like, I'm like, how the fuck did Scott Dixon win this race? It just seems impossible.
Right.
Okay. So I asked you this before, and I think you told me to go to hell. If you're king of IndyCar, what are you doing? What are you doing?
If I'm the king of IndyCar,
if you had carte blanche, you could do whatever you wanted.
I body swapped you with Roger Penske. You're in Roger Penske's body, and you can just do whatever you want.
What would I do? Well, I think in terms of, I would definitely do I'd do a new engine with a new car. Mm-hmm. Like, are we speaking like 2024 onwards? Like, we're living in the now?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would do a new car ASAP. I would do a new engine to go with that car with an aero screen that's built into it. Lighter, more power, fatter, like just proper, like this is IndyCar. And I would preferably do maybe if we can't do a naturally aspirated engine, but do like a big liter, you know, 3.5 liter, like 950 horse, just badass sounding car. Mm-hmm. I would, I don't know what you think, but I think we're missing a lot of like the sexiness of a series. Like we're missing a lot of the sexiness that the average F1 fan that has no idea what's going on.
Right.
They only want to say that they're the F1 race. Why? Because it seems to be like now it's a status like I was at the F1 race. I'm not saying IndyCar should be that. But I think when you really embrace your roots and you really embrace what your brand is and you just give the spectator the baddest car that you can do with the best sounding engine in the world currently, and you just... You make it a bit more of a crazier show, because like, for example, man, winning an IndyCar race is freaking hard.
Yeah.
Like for starters, podiums. I think podiums we can take a massive step on podiums. I think the 500 is amazing. Mm-hmm. That event is just amazing in every way.
Right.
But I think, you know, man, people don't know that there's 16 other races in a championship. Before and after the 500. So like, what do we need to do in order for people to actually realize that there is a championship that is extremely hard to win apart from the Indy 500? Like, we can still have our crown jewel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But everything else is really important as well. So I'd fuel every area. Every area and just making it a product that is really sought after by sponsors, by manufacturers, by people, and people that want, like, the money is there to pay that big bucks, because F1, people are paying it to go to Formula One.
Yeah.
So, like, the money is there. The people that have that, and I think we should do something for everyone. Like, there should be obviously different levels, not just one ticket is $800. I think that is ridiculous in Formula One. Like, you're sitting on grass and you're paying $800 or $1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm not pro that.
Yeah.
But I think there should be a wide range of options to go see your favorite race cars go round and round and just have a really good time, you know? And like, I think these promoters like Hy-Vee, you know, I think they do a really, really nice job. Like, I think we're very lucky as a series to have people like that.
Yeah.
But I think other areas have to really step it up, you know? Yeah. I think some people are really doing a nice job at like setting the bar, but like, there's a lot of differences between markets, I should say, or I guess places that we go to. Mm-hmm. So I try and elevate all of it and make it really like a Super Bowl everywhere we go rather than just a race, you know, like making it somewhere where people really want to be.
Yeah, I think that the 500, we were so blown away by the
What an event, it is unbelievable.
I mean, it's the best, you know,
it's our the best sporting event I've ever been to.
We've now gone to a bunch of F1 races and it's way better than any F1 race that we've gone to.
The Indy 500, there is nothing that comes close to it and there's not. Like that that is the event. That is the event. I won't change my mind. Like that is the event.
It's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
The snake pit, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like, which really, like, all you have to do is tap into, like, what makes the Indy 500 so special? The history of it, what it means to win that race, like, all these things that add up to the hype. Like, really, it's all hype. That's what gets people excited. And
then it delivers when you're there. I mean,
Nose. Yeah, this year's race was unbelievable. And we were pulling for you. We were pulling for you hard, man. We were so bummed when you had that crash
right in front of us. Because
we were right at the brick. Line. Yeah, but all right. We were talking about, you know, Matt was talking about, you know, it's getting also into the personal lives. We want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what's going on with you. Well, we know, you know, your boy Felix no longer with the team, but he recently got engaged.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? Are you a groomsman? Are you going to the bachelor party? What's going on?
I think the wedding... Did he tell me when the wedding was? He told me when the wedding was, and I had something. And I think that something is... I'll be with... Because it's once the season is over, and I'll be traveling somewhere with F1.
Oh, okay.
And it's... And I think he's going to... I don't think he's doing it in the States. I think he's doing it in Europe. So
right.
If I make it, I'll definitely be there. I don't know if I'll be a groomsman, but I'll be there ready to party for him, you know. But they're awesome. I think Emil is amazing, and I think they're a great couple for sure. And I see him happy. I see him really enjoying his life other than driving, you know. So I think that's a good thing for him.
Speaking of Rosenqvist, so David Malukas has joined the team. Are you scared of him from a social media perspective? Is he the most dangerous teammate you've had?
Dangerous? From a social media
perspective? In terms of his online presence.
Oh, no. No,
because you were kind of the king of McLaren social media, and now he's declared himself like a meme lord, you know?
Yeah.
So now you have some competition.
I think we're two very different personalities, and we have very different presence on social media. So, I wouldn't really compare the two.
Different driving styles. Got it.
Right.
Yeah, that probably as well.
How's the dynamic now with Rossi and the two of you? Because you guys were doing a photo shoot, and it kind of looked like Rossi was like your guys's like begrudging dad, and then dad. Like you guys are so young, and then like, and Rossi's just kind of like, oh God, here I am, like, you know, babysitting again. Are you guys just clowning him? What's the dynamic there?
I guess. I mean, I've created a relationship with Rossi, and I get along with him very well. Like, I've known David for a few years, so I get along with him well as well. So, I mean, what is it gonna? I guess I'm not the baby of the team anymore. I guess that's the biggest change. But
little Dave.
So yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, I feel like we haven't had enough time to really all work together because all the testing's been one car only. So like, there hasn't really been a big collaborative kind of instance. So so we'll see. But I think it'll be fine. And I think David's really gonna gonna grow in this atmosphere, because I think McLaren Racing as a whole has a very different atmosphere to a lot of other teams, and I think he's gonna really thrive in it.
Speaking of McLaren, you know, Zach Brown's been out here making moves, just doing amazing. You know, it seems like under his rule, McLaren has really kind of like stepped into the forefront on, you know, both the IndyCar and the F1 front. You know, we feel like our theory on him is just that he's like the best salesman ever. Could you speak to that? Have you ever like seen him in action, like, you know, like making a deal? Because no one seems to be able to, like, he stole Monster from, you know, Mercedes. He's stealing sponsors left and right. It just seems like he's like, you know, the best salesman that we've ever seen. Can you speak to that?
I mean, I think he has an unbelievable network, and that network has come. It just keeps on growing. You know, it's something that I think he's had for a few years and just keeps on building on. And really, is Zach has a lot of friends, and Zach has a lot of very rich friends, which is what we ultimately need to go play race cars, you know? So that, I think that's the main kind of factor there, is that he has a massive networking list of individuals and companies. And I mean, I've never seen somebody hustle the way that he does. Like he's that guy's always on the phone, He doesn't sleep. If I text him at 2 a.m., chances of him answering are higher than not.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have a lot of respect for the guy, and I think a lot of people do as well, because of what he's been able to create. And I feel like he's been in a lot of different, areas. Maybe areas is the wrong way to say it, because I feel like he's always been very, very, a lot of presence in marketing. But that is his forte. I mean, he knows the art of sponsorship and marketing very, very well.
Yeah. No, we've seen it firsthand. We're the fans just gobbling it up. So we know that you love your fits. That you got some serious fits. So we're gonna show you some fits of yours and some other folks, and we'll get you just to react to them.
Okay.
So
I like those, man. That was good. That was that was a really fun shoot. And I'm a fan of that. Yeah.
All right, this is a kind of bold move here.
The two cans. So I made it like a trend. So one time I had my favorite brand for beachwear is Vilbrequin. Shout out to them, because they give me nothing for free.
Come on, Vilbrequin, let's get after it.
And I had worn the one of all smiley faces, so shorts and the top, all smiley faces. And I saw they came out with this toucan, and I think toucans are cool. So, like, I said, I'm going to embrace the toucan, and I'm going to wear it. And, I think it's good, man. Look, playing with the Uno, and we've got the nice nature in the back with the green, you know. What am I?
You're definitely wearing
there?
It. It's not wearing
some
you.
Chocolates there on the plate.
you're
you are playing Uno. That
yeah,
is
he's playing Uno.
So like, dude, that was good. I like it.
Yeah. All right, we got you here in the I am Kenuff.
Yeah.
Do you identify as a Ken?
Do I identify as a Ken? I guess my mom does, because she gifted me that sweater. And she even got me like the bandana. I wasn't planning to take a picture, but when I got there, I had never been to this like dog place that they have, and it's pretty impressive. So when I got in there, I took my camera to take pictures of Norby, but then it was like a mirrored door, so I was like, boom, I'm gonna snap a pic, and just wearing my Knopf sweater, very comfortable, very soft. Definitely was having a chill day that day, you know? So, yeah, decided to post.
Amazing.
A lot of my posting, I don't know if you noticed, but it's very random. Like,
yes.
It's like, it's not planned at all. It's very just natural. I kind of treat it like a diary. So wherever I'm at or whatever, and if I think it's cool, boom, picture.
Well, no one seems to do, you do selfies very well, I think. Your selfies are always very kind of like, it's almost like you kind of, it's like a blur. It just happens in the moment. There's a real authenticity to the spontaneity of your selfie.
Yeah, you know, if I look goofy, I look goofy. If I don't look goofy, I look fine. You know, like it is what it is. Yeah. And I think people sometimes have a laugh and I guess it's enjoyed.
No, we love it. All right. So we're going to show you some of your teammates. This is Malukas. He's rocking this fit. What's your take on this fit from David?
Is he wearing a flannel?
Yeah, it's flannel vibe.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if I would be wearing a flannel in cargo pants, but
yeah,
I like the thought behind it.
Yeah, it's kind of given like you know.
He has his own
early
style.
Skateboarder
David's
vibe.
Got his own style and like. Yeah. Dude, embrace it. Like, if you got your own style, like I have my own style. People laugh at whatever I wear all the time here. When I come to the shop and they're like, "What are you wearing?" And it's like, "Well, this is what I'm wearing, whether you like it or you don't."
Sorry, I'm an icon. Get over it. All right. Well, it's called fashion. Here's one of your other coworkers here, Oscar Piastri at a game here, rocking skinny jeans.
Oscar is simple. Oscar is like, give me a hoodie and some jeans and that's what I'm going to wear everywhere. Unless he has to dress up, he's going to dress up. But I don't see Oscar dressing up for anything unless he has to.
Speaking of dressing up, then we got your other coworker here, Lando Norris.
That the Vanity Fair?
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they... Because didn't multiple drivers get a spot on Vanity Fair? I think that's super cool. And it's combining one audience that really probably has no idea what F1 is. They probably know what it is now. So it's just two very different audiences and joining forces. And that, like, man, that's a lot of the growth, I feel like, nowadays. That's what it's all about. It's like just... kind of bringing it into an audience that has no idea what you're all about.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, let's do just a quick like rapid fire. Just get your first impressions. Who would you rather do content with? David, Alex, Oscar, or Lando?
I'll go Rossi because he's a person that describes himself as pessimistic. So, you just never know what you get. Sometimes you get, a good response, and then sometimes you get the rudest response ever, but it's actually kind of cool.
So there's a wild card character there.
Yeah. Okay. It's a wild card. Yeah,
Rossi. We got a front row to seat to that in Indianapolis. Okay, you're on a road trip with David, Alex, Lando, and Oscar. Who's running the aux cord? Who's got the snacks? Who's navigating? Who's driving?
Lando's probably got the aux cord since he likes the DJing. I've probably got the snacks.
Okay. What are you bringing? What are you bringing? What's the road trip snack choices?
Probably like chocolate chip cookies and some nuts. I like nuts.
Okay, keep it healthy.
Yeah.
For sure. Get your macros.
Have a balance, Yeah. I like jicama. I like jicama. Jicama's cool.
Okay.
Jicama's good and Rossi probably be driving, and then David would just be like vibing.
Okay, just vibing. Okay, who has the best bus in the IndyCar paddock?
Definitely not me. Like some of these guys have some badass buses. I'd probably say one of the either Prevost or Newell's. Bob Rahal has an awesome one. Like if I were to choose a bus,
Yeah.
It'd be Bobby Ray Hall's. Okay. It's badass. It's black with red and some like charcoal gray. Like that, that's my logo. Like that, those are my colors. Right. So, Bobby Ray Hall.
Okay. Who's got the worst bus? Whose bus do you need to go, you know, pull them aside and say you need to update this thing?
Who's got the worst bus? Because man, a lot of these guys also rent it for month of May, so it's not their bus. Not everybody's got a bus.
Yeah, sure.
So I have to say, maybe I can't remember what it was years two years ago. I think, man, Renus got scammed in like a bus that he rented or something, and they gave him the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. Like, it was horrible. Like, dude, it was horrible. And I think he even knew it. He was like, dude, don't even tell me about it. Because I was talking to his dad. And his dad is like, nah, like, you know, this guy told us this and that, and then this is what we got, and it wasn't even what we booked. So it'd probably be that one, like 2021 to 2022, Renus.
It's the first question I'm going to ask him when we meet him.
Yeah. And here's a question. I don't know if you're in a relationship, but if you were in a relationship and, you know, your girlfriend offered you, said, hey, Pato, can you peel this orange for me? Would you do it?
I'm not in a relationship. And if she asked me that, yes, I would.
Okay.
Is that Is that a question people are asking?
It's a TikTok trend. All these girls are just giving oranges to their boyfriends, and then sometimes their boyfriends are like, I'm not peeling that for you. And then everyone's like, break up with him, break up with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, we had to ask you something extremely stupid. Okay, that's right. The Arrow McLaren 2024 car has just launched.
February 8th.
That's right.
You know, February 8th. Right here. I'm going to pull up the livery. It looks good, man. It looks stealth. It looks fast. It looks... it looks like it got a very similar colors to what I've had the last few years, so it won't be a shock. And
it looks very sleek.
Does it look fat? Are you winning the championship in this car, Pato?
Duh.
Are you winning the Indy 500 in this car, Pato?
Duh.
Let's go. Okay.
It looks sleek. It looks angry. It looks threatening.
It looks like it's ready to go, bro. Yeah.
If I'm Marcus Ericsson, I'm leaving more room for
car. That's right. The little bit of blue on the car last year, Marcus Ericsson said, I'm not getting out of the way for this guy. He's got some blue on the car. Absolutely not. No. Now he's just sees it's orange and black. He's getting out of he's getting out of the way.
Now, for those of you who don't love to listen to us describe the car, where can they find the car, the visuals of the car for them, so they can look for themselves? Because, you know, a picture speaks 1,000 words or whatever.
I mean, I'm assuming any logical person would go to the team page, right?
Yes.
Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
Instagram.
Yes.
Yep.
Facebook, Arrow McLaren, you know, and I'm sure McLaren Racing's going to share it also.
Oh yeah, it'll be on the.
But mine's the last car, so
yeah. I see.
By then, you'll know exactly where it is because, well, everywhere where the other ones got introduced, that's where mine will be.
amazing. All right. Yeah. Anything you want us to plug, Pato?
No, we're good, bro.
All right, amazing.
Some lunch.
Awesome. Go get some lunch.
All right, cheers, guys.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.